Well, good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is the 195.1 FM, and of course, for over 50 years, we are 1080 AM radio. And everybody's talking about the weather, so we might as well talk about the weather. As I drove in, I'm driving, well, it's an old car, but it has the modern functions that I never had as a kid, and that is a thermometer in two different places. And as I left the garage, it was 17 degrees, and that was above. And I went out to the mailbox, drove out there to pick up the paper and see what's going on in that regard, and dropped down to 13 below. And then when I got in the car to come into town, 27 below zero all the way into Northfield, Minnesota. I was waiting for the 28 below that I had read on my cell phone. But it's cold out there, and would my guest turn up because of this weather? And here he sits, Tim Marr, the conductor of the St. Olaf Band. Thank you for coming in, my friend.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Always good to see you.
Likewise.
Did they close down St. Olaf today?
I don't think they're going to. I don't think they have that option. It's the last day of the interim study, and all the final exams are going on today.
Oh, okay.
It's a residential campus, so the students are there, by and large. It's more of a trouble of getting faculty members down from the cities and things like that.
But yeah, and what was the furthest a student would have to walk from one class to the to another?
Maybe three city blocks.
Which would be at 27 below in a 10-mile-an-hour wind or more. The flags are straight out. Mm-hmm. That would be, life-threatening if you were there for any more than 10, 15
minutes.
It's
at least a learning experience.
Yeah, sure. I was wondering if they provided shuttle service for students on a day like today.
No, but they did send out messages teaching the students how to handle this weather, because we have students from all over the world. Carleton is the same way, I'm sure. You know, they've barely experienced snow, let alone anything like this, and so they need to know.
Well, Tim, I for the first time in, oh my gosh, almost my lifetime in Northfield, I turned on the TV in the morning, and I just wanted to watch the National Weather Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a message from a friend of mine in San Diego yesterday and said, oh boy, are you still having fun out there in Minnesota, and teasing me. And I wanted to see what it was like. And there's quite a chill over the entire three-quarters of the nation going from west to east. And then there's going to be a big warm-up this weekend.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't mind winter. Obviously, I don't like this type of, you know, I don't do things outside anymore anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's the sun is shining right now, and we can tell what part of the year it is by when it starts blinding my guests seated where you are right now. But we are over half of the winter, you know. March is coming.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember riding my motorcycle in March, so I'm really looking forward to that. But there's another thing. I don't know, Tim, you're so young you wouldn't be aware of this, but people with that are taking blood thinners,
mm-hmm,
are really susceptible to this cold weather.
Oh, yeah.
Because that blood is not as thick and warm pumping through your, mm-hmm, body. And you leave your hands ungloved on a day like today for, well, from walking from my car into the studio here, my fingers started going numb.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only, 20 yards at the most? So for those of you that are on that stuff, be sure that you cover all of your skin, particularly your digits, if you have any,
mm-hmm,
left. So anyhow, we talked about the weather, and on a day like today, you have to do that 13 minutes after 9 o'clock. And by the way, have you ever been to the quarterback club?
Yeah, quite a few times.
Well, you know, they serve those great breakfasts. and they're open and they're ready to go. And if you happen to need some nice warm breakfast, they've got oatmeal and malted meal. They have, of course, eggs any way you like them. They have bacon, sausage, pancakes, waffles, donuts, you name it. They got it all at the QB, and they serve breakfast till 10 o'clock each and every day, except Sunday. They don't open for breakfast so the nonprofits can have their pancake feeds or whatever. And don't forget, lunchtime is burger time and delicious flame broiled burgers, the only place in town that does that. You also can get bacon, lettuce, and tomato, chicken salad, tuna salad. You can get croissants. They have it all at the QB. And speaking about it all, have you ever heard of a guy named T.J. Heinrichsen?
Never.
Never.
Brand new name to me.
Well, TJ was the city department head in regards to the parks and the streets. And he recently took a job, I believe, in Le Sueur. But I get to the studio this morning, and Terry says, Wayne, you have some delicious caramel rolls that TJ brought in. And I said, TJ brought in? All the way from Le Sueur? And she said, no, they kind of closed down, similar to all the other communities in the area because of the weather. And TJ lives halfway to Lonsdale, so he made these delicious caramel rolls and brought them to the KYMN studio for us to enjoy. You were offered one, and you turned it down.
Yeah, I'm a little overweight right now.
No, I don't think so. Anyhow, I want to thank TJ for that. Good guy, good friend of mine. And he's a motorcyclist. You know what a fob is?
I have one in my pocket.
Okay, I didn't know of anything called a fob about 2 years ago. And TJ had just bought a brand new motorcycle, an Indian, I believe it is. And it's just gorgeous. And I ride a motorcycle, and I'm looking at it and all that, and he pushes the start button, it starts up, and I go, you leave your key in this beautiful car? A motorcycle? He says, yeah, I trust people. And I said, man, I wouldn't with this. And then he shows me a fob, and I go, he said, no, I'm using my fob. I never even heard the word fob. Now my wife has one, and they're pretty nice, and I wouldn't mind having one right now to start my car up before we get going. Well, so here I am chit-chatting about things other than the reason I asked you to come on in and say hello. And I know that you're here on a limited time because you have people to see, places to go, things to do. And thank you for taking this hour out of your morning. And I want to talk all about what happened in Japan. You got back, I said recently, but you said November. That's pretty recent. And the band, the St. Olaf band, went to Japan. How does that work?
Well, there, for me, Japan is two things. We had a tour to Japan back in 2010 with the St. Olaf band, but that wasn't this past November. In the, November, I was invited to guest conduct at the Senzoku Gakuen School of Music. And so that we might have some mixed signals as to why I'm sitting in this seat here, but I can certainly talk about both. We had a fantastic interim study tour to Japan back in 2010. And this is where the entire band of at St. Olaf, about 90 students or so, a little bit more than that, took a course on the arts and culture of Japan. Mac Gimsey, an artist in town here, and Pat Quaid, a theater person of great renown, you know. They were both retired, and they were our professors. And for the first 2 weeks of January, we had a class in the morning and a rehearsal in the morning, class in the afternoon, a rehearsal in the afternoon. And for 2 weeks, we followed that schedule. We got the music ready. That was my job. Pat and Mac got them their heads full of what it was going to be like to study the arts and culture of Japan. We hop on a plane. We end up over there, and we gave, you know, about five or six concerts and traveled around. And this, to me, is the strongest experience I think the band can have. We've done this with Mexico, we've done it with Australia and New Zealand recently as well, where they have a chance to study together first year students sitting next to seniors, which doesn't happen very often at the collegiate level, and they're interacting as classmates and digging into subject matters that they don't know about. They get off the plane it's alive right in front of them. Now they're in Japan. They're dealing with language, with culture. We're taking them to various sites. The real benefit for a band to go over to Japan is that they love the concert band scene over there. And that's an interesting story in and of itself. But for each of our concerts, it was sold out. They treated us like rock stars. They wanted autographs from all of our students after concerts. We'd come pulling in to set up for a concert that evening, and in the afternoon there were, you know, 50 students ready to have the buses roll up to their place. You know, it was just an amazing cultural exchange in that regard.
And so why were they treated like rock stars? Is it because the music is so different, the instruments are different?
Yeah, actually the music isn't very different at all. The band scene there is really, really big. And in fact, the group that I just conducted in November, they put out animated movies about being in the band. They're quite popular. One's called Euphonium. I mean, that's the title of the film. It's an animated film. The band supplies the soundtrack.
Wow.
And it's a very popular movie over there.
Can the former members of the band go to YouTube and pull that up and watch it and listen to the music and say, that's me on the saxophone?
I imagine they can over there. I don't know what kind of rights we have at it right now. They gave me one of the discs. It's a Blu-ray disc, and it's a beautiful thing. It has that sort of Japanese anime kind of look to it. And basically, this all is because of helping them rebuild after World War II.
Oh, yeah.
And Paul Yoder, a great bands person from up in the upper Midwest here, went over there as one of the first people to help them get reestablished. And he said, well, this is what the band is all about. And now we have Yamaha Corporation, which is, you know, big in many things, but it's certainly big in musical instruments.
I rode one.
Well, you rode a tuba or what?
I have owned several Yamaha motorcycles.
Yeah, yeah.
As a matter of fact, we had a visiting convention of bankers from Japan that Carlton was hosting one mm-hmm. year, and I was a host family. And the guy had never, he was from Yamaha. And he'd never been on a Yamaha motorcycle. And I go, wow, that's really something.
Yeah.
I want to get to some of the music here.
Sure.
I asked that you bring in some of the music that your band has performed. And I'm going to give you the envelope. And you can tell me what is going on. And I'm a neophyte? Is that a word meaning
that
I'm unexperienced?
Yeah.
And I'd like to learn, though, about things. And, there's an old saying about, oh, boy, I would get anything if I could do that. Mm-hmm. And then you back that up with, well, if you would, you would. And so that's where I'm at, is that I wish I would have learned music and an instrument, but I haven't taken it upon myself to try at this time. So what is it about?
What I brought in to share this morning is the stuff that happened last November.
Okay.
This is a school of about 1,600 students. It's a conservatory, one of the largest in Japan. And they had me come in to work with the freshman wind ensemble. And so these are all students who are basically 3 months out of high school, you know, and you can sort of put that into your thinking here. And it would be a situation where you would lose face as a Japanese ensemble if you weren't thoroughly prepared before the guest arrived.
I did not understand that.
Yes. And so I've heard this from all of my conducting colleagues who have been to Japan. This is sort of a thing that happens quite often. And it was my first time around on it. And they said, you won't know what to do because they give you hours and hours to rehearse and they already have it perfectly prepared. Fortunately, it's all technically prepared, but they're waiting for the nuance and the shaping and the interpretation. And so I had a delightful time putting that stamp
on
the
music. How did you communicate with them?
Naoya Takazawa, who was on the faculty there, is the person who contacted me, speaks English very well, studied over here for his graduate work, and he was the interpreter. And so the students understand basic musical terms. It's an international language. They understand English numbers. And so I could say measure 67, and they would know what I'm talking about.
Now, isn't music the language of the world?
Oh, I believe it is.
Yeah, I mean,
it truly is. It's culturally different in various places and so on, but there's something about tones excited in the air and structured in a certain way, expressing important things, that it's what holds us all together.
And once had a fellow by the name of Mike Rubel that was our music director here at KYMN Radio back in the 70s or 80s, and he knew his music. He had been a music teacher. And I even asked him, I said, is there sheet music for drummers? And he said, well, of course there is. And the next day he brought some in. And I was thinking, you know, I was a Gene Krupa fan, and,
yeah,
you know, at the prom ballroom watching them do their thing. I just thought it was spontaneous, and I imagine a lot of it is.
Yeah.
But you actually read music as a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you had this opportunity to go over to Japan, was it because they were impressed with what you had done as a band director touring in 1910? Is that how
you do the connection? 2010, I'm not quite
that old. I'm still saying 2010, okay.
Yeah, I'm fortunate in that I'm a published composer, and so they've been playing my music over there since the 1980s. And when we went there in 2010 with the St. Olaf Band, it was built in part on the fact that they knew me. And so it was easy to have people say yes to hosting us and helping us with the PR and stuff like that. And so that's the reputation. It's sort of a...
When you say published composer, does that mean you wrote the music and arranged the music?
Mm-hmm.
It's yours original, period, amen?
Yes, and then I either sell it to a publishing company. I have my own publishing company now that I just started this past fall.
Okay.
And it's wonderful to receive an invitation saying we'd like you to present a full program. The first half of the program, we want to do classic repertoire. We want you to help teach the freshmen. You know, they're just coming into our college. Get them through some of the main works. And then on the second half of the program, we want to do all of your music. And so that's, it was unbelievable.
Were the students impressed with your music?
Well, they were kind enough to let me think they were.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's get back to the animated film that mm-hmm. you provided the music for. Did the band get compensated for that?
Yeah, I think the compensation is just having their performance on the DVD, on the recording. I don't know anything about the money of it. No yen.
Okay.
Yeah.
What can I'm going to take a brief break, and then let's come back and
sure.
and you know, tell me, I'm a freshman.
Well, okay.
I'm not a freshman. Your freshmen were already perfect when you went there, but just help us out. I know that a lot of people that like music don't know much about it, and you're a composer, so you can explain what is going to be played here in just a minute.
4,000 fence posts, 900 acres, 48 bales, one trophy, all before lunch, which we caught last Saturday. There aren't enough hours in the day, so we work in the dark. The 9-to-5 here is 5-to-9. We earn our scars. We wear our work ethic. We work until the work's done. And when it is, a few hours of shut-eye to rest up for tomorrow, the day we'll finally get something done. The Can-Am Defender family of side-by-sides. We're built for this. Find the perfect Defender for your hard day's work at Leo South in Lakeville today.
The affordable one, the one you want at Leo South.
When you work with folks you know, like me, Mark Quinnell, you know what to expect. That's why you should give State Farm Bank a try. A State Farm agent that helps protect your home, your car, and your family can help with your banking needs. It's more than just banking. It's banking with a good neighbor. State Farm Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Some products and services are not available in all areas. For information, call me, State Farm agent Mark Quinnell, at 645-4545.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is.
Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio out of downtown Northfield, Minnesota. My guest this morning is a gentleman by the name of Tim Marr. Do you have a doctorate degree in music? You do. You're Dr. Tim Marr.
I am.
Isn't that cool? You ever use that?
Yeah. It doesn't help with prescriptions, but other than that.
Okay. One of the things that I always ask is, what's the difference between a band and an orchestra? And I think I know the answer, but tell me.
What is the answer? I'd be interested.
A band does not have strings.
Yeah, by and large, that's true. Every once in a while, we'll have a string bass.
Okay.
We carry one with the St. Olaf Band, I think is a very important part of the ensemble. Harp, we use harp as well. But other than that, yes, no violins, violas, celli, you know.
Bugles and cellies. Bugles, you don't use bugles in your type of music, do you?
Very rarely.
Yeah. What's the difference between a bugle, a trumpet, and a cornet?
Oh, I love talking with you. This is fun. A bugle has no valves on it in its truest state. It would be just one tube that's wrapped up so you can hold it in a compact fashion. The length of the tube determines what the fundamental pitch is, and then you can play overtones above it so you can get bing, bum, 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 bum. You can get these bugle calls out of it, playing taps.
Is that taps? And,
yeah, things like that, reveille. And once you add valves to it, then you fill out the full chromatic scale. And
what scale?
A chromatic is 12 pitches between an octave. Okay.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people in Northfield that listen to KYMN Radio are educated when it comes to music, so they know what you're talking about and probably have a smile on your face because I'm saying what? Go ahead.
Yeah. The trumpet is a little bit more of its length is cylindrical rather than conical in its bore, and a cornet is a little bit more conical. And the conical instruments are flaring open gradually, and French horns and tubas and cornets and euphonium are in bugles. Flugelhorns, those are conical instruments. They have a little bit of a mellower tone because of the shape of the bore of the instrument. A trombone, a tuba, a trombone and a trumpet are cylindrical for a much longer period of their length, and a little bit of a brighter tone. More penetrating.
Now, I'm old enough to have appreciated the 40s, Glenn Miller and Benny Goodman and people like that. Do you enjoy that big band music?
Oh, sure.
But, I mean, is it like, you know, that's a lot of fun to dance to and all that, but you get into more serious things?
Oh, that's... You can talk about it with jazz, or you can talk about it in a broader scope. All sorts of music has the time period in which it was created and flourished. And so listening to like the Glenn Miller Band or the Tommy Dorsey Band, it's sort of a period kind of experience. It's still fun. You can still dance to it. But the musicians who make it come alive are having a blast. And yet it has sort of a dated kind of sound because of the musical materials that are being used. Different harmonies, different melodic shapes, and so on. There's more, if we stay in the jazz world, contemporary jazz musicians and so on that are expanding. Artists are always expanding the mode of expression.
Would I be correct in saying I could use the word busy when I listen to Stan Kenton?
Certain pieces, I think, yeah. Yeah, some of his ballads are gorgeous, you know, but he had an interesting band. He used a mellophone every once in a while, which is like a French horn-related instrument and conical bore, and he wanted that mellow tone in this band.
And I, of course, fell in love with the French horn when I first heard it, and then when I saw it, oh, man, how cool is that?
Yeah.
Is that a difficult instrument to play melodically?
It is. It is. The reason for that is that the range that it's called upon to play within the instrument itself, the overtones or the partials are very close together. If your lips aren't set perfectly where they need to buzz, you'll get the wrong note to happen. And so you sort of chip around and have sort of bloops and blurps coming out because you're not quite accurate with it. It's a challenging instrument.
Well, let's go to some of the music. I know you had three cuts. What cut would you like me to go to?
Well, this is the Senzoku Gakuen Freshman Wind Ensemble. I thought I'd share some of the Japanese band today. And the first one is an old Italian piece called Sinfonia in B-flat minor. It's about 10 minutes, so I thought we'd just...
No, we're just going to...
A little bit of it, yeah, certainly.
And that's cut one?
Yep.
Okay. Let me turn around here. Don't mean to be rude, but I have to turn my back. What type of an opening am I going to have?
Oh, this is going to be sort of a nice, quiet, sensitive opening, and then it takes off.
All right. Here we go. Sounds like the soundtrack for Into the Woods.
Well, you know, it's a work from the 19th century, originally written for band. This is the same composer who wrote that piece, Bottom, 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 Bottom. The old, what was it, Alan Sherman, the comedian, used it. Hello, Mother.
Hello, Father.
Yeah. Da, 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 I don't know if I got the right name right for the comedian right there, but I think you know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That was, you know, you think about it, the Beatles stole a lot of former composers, dead composers. Does this get really full towards
it's winding down the introduction right now.
Yeah. Now, you have to be pretty disciplined on the slower parts, all parts, but...
Yes. And now we take off for about another 7 minutes of this energy.
Sure. And it takes physical stamina to play long numbers, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Do I say numbers? Is that the...
Yeah, selections, whatever.
Okay.
You bet.
Our guest this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair is Tim Marr. He is the band director at St. Olaf College. We're talking about a 2010 tour that the band took, and also last November when Tim was invited to be the house conductor for a Japanese band.
Yes.
Is it easier to travel by yourself or with a whole bunch of kids?
Well, it was much easier to travel by myself, and it was nice. They have a nonstop Delta flight from to Tokyo now, and from Minneapolis, and so you just get on a plane and watch a few movies and take a couple naps, and then your clock is flipped. I got off the plane, and they, it's a fair, 12-hour flight or something like this, you know. And by the time they got me to the hotel, they said, we're picking you up in an hour for your rehearsal. And so my first rehearsal for them, it was from 7:30 until 10 o'clock at night. But for me, it was like 5 in the morning or whatever on my clock. And so that first rehearsal was a little bit tough, and then you get yourself flipped around. Well, what's really fascinating about these students is that they practically had the entire concert memorized. I had a young woman as the principal clarinet. This would be like the concertmaster violinist of an orchestra. And she never took her eyes off of me. Every time I looked at her, she kept playing and looking at me, and her fingers are flying all over the place. And that's that level of preparation that they have over there. They smile when allowed, basically. If you let them know that, yes, we can enjoy this, they break into jubilation practically, I think because of the fact that it's a very serious preparation going on. And they're driven to do absolutely the best that they can do.
Well, I can just picture their conductor saying, hey, this guy's coming over here from America, mm-hmm. and I want you people ready to rock and roll when he gets here and impress him and let him know that we appreciate what he's doing here, okay? So your first rehearsal is like the last one probably at a different course that you may have taught.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other fun thing is that you mount the podium and greet them, and they'll stand up and bow, you know. And then when you're done, you'll say thank you very much, arigato.
Arigato, yeah.
And they'll all stand up and bow to you again. I'm a sensei over there.
A sensei?
Yeah, like a master teacher. Ooh. You know. Yeah.
Now, do you go through the body motion that I enjoy watching a conductor who gets into the historics and then into the smooth thing,
sure.
and close their eyes and just kind of do it with their hands and then bring them back. And that's got to be like playing football or something. I mean, it's got to be really physically trying and mentally appreciative.
It's one thing that I wish everybody could experience, to stand in front of a really fine ensemble, have it be quiet, lift up your arms, bring them down, and hear what comes at you, what kind of sound that particular piece might need to have. It's an interesting process of growth for a conductor. When you're young, you're learning basic patterns, and it's sort of intimidating to be up there, and the path is toward not even thinking about what you're doing and just trying to embody the music so much. You're not trying to look like anything. In the opening that you just played, you can hear a little crescendi and decrescendi, little volume coming up and down moments. And for me, I would just have to look at them and maybe raise my eyebrow a little bit and bring it back down. And they're all watching me.
Yeah.
And they know exactly, oh, okay, this is what we should do here. And so it's like I have a very fine control over what the sound is happening. You're sitting in front of a board right now full of slides that help you, you know, equalize your output and so on. And that's sort of my job, too. Trombones are a little bit too loud here. I'm a trombone player, so I'd hardly ever say that. But, you know, if they were, I'd lift my hand up and give them a look, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the old conductors say don't ever look at the trombones. That'll just encourage them, you know. So.
Yeah, there's a thousand jokes in your industry that I wouldn't get, I'm sure. Tim Meyer is my guest this morning. Last November, we had the pleasure of going to Japan and being a host, not a host, but a visiting conductor.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever considered wearing your hair real long, like you see in the movies or on the covers of albums?
No.
No?
Yeah, well, I see that, and I like to think that it's not about me.
Okay.
I'm just sort of a plain old guy, and I'm trying not to be sloppy up on stage, but I don't want people being distracted by what I look like. I want them to have an immediate connection with the music. I tell this is the highest compliment I can give any student. If I go to their recital and they play a piece by Beethoven or something like this, I'll say, you allowed me to communicate, commune directly with Beethoven. I forgot you were playing the piano. It didn't matter who was playing the piano. You were doing it so well that I went right to Beethoven. And that's what I think is our job as the recreators of the music. The music is put in front of us, and can we serve it so well with our preparation, with our heart and our sensitivity, that piece of music comes alive and leaves the stage, and it doesn't matter who we are at all.
I have a question that I'm going to come up with after we take a break and let you see if you can solve this for me, all right?
Sure.
I'll be right back.
Monster Jam, where it's winner takes all. No guts, no glory. Witness the best of the best. See Gravedigger, Max D, Megalodon, and more of your favorite Monster Jam trucks. This is Monster Jam. Presented by official partners America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses, BKT Tires, and Metro by T-Mobile. Tickets on sale now. Experience adrenaline charged family entertainment. Lock in your seats today at MonsterJam.com. Coming to U.S. Bank Stadium February 16th.
Welcome to this Subway ad for 5 foot long starting at $4.99 each. How do you want it?
Secret DJ set.
At a retirement home?
Weird. I like it.
DJ sandwich in the house.
What'd he say?
Cool cut combo $4.99.
Gold butt mambo.
Meatball marinara $4.99.
How much?
$4.99. Subway, make it what you want.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. Prices and subs included may vary. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
Now, what scale was that commercial? What beat did that have?
Well, it was
a 4-4?
Yes, most of it is. what was interesting is that they're using electronic controlling on the voice.
Yeah.
Vocoder is what they call it. And you or I could sing something into it, and it's sort of like a keyboard of a piano. They can play different keys and put our voice on whatever pitch they're playing
on
their finger. Auto-tuning, yep. And it sounded like they tried to sort of go right up the scale chromatically on the $4.99 and make the little hook that we all remember.
Yeah. My question is this. I get to get a little jab, okay?
Sure.
WCAL, damn it. Okay.
Okay.
That's my jab.
I hear you.
NPR, damn it. Here's the deal. I was listening to classical music on the radio, where I can pump it up, a little hard of hearing, and I conduct in the car. I'm sure.
Good for you.
You know, and I anticipate, because I don't know the piece like I know Elvis Presley tunes from the 60s, but I just like it. And I'm listening to this piece, and they got done playing it, and the host on the show said that was such and such by such and such. And it was foreign to me on who he was talking about. And here's how it went. Dee, da do, da dee, da do, da do, da dee, da do, da dee. That's T for two.
Yeah,
but that's what it was playing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, you know,
they didn't say it was T for two.
Yeah, I don't know that particular piece, but what's interesting is that and it still happens today that the folk music of the area, the region, wherever the composer is living, that can creep into the music that they're writing down, that they're creating. Haydn and you know, the classical composers of their time, they would borrow from the sounds around them, and it's no small wonder that we have only a certain, in a diatonic scale, a normal scale, eight tones, seven tones, and then it repeats on the eighth tone, that's the octave. And there's only so many combinations that you can put those notes in.
Well, that's what I was thinking in the era of the computer. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti,
exactly.
Do. Okay. You said there's seven and repeats on eight. Of course, we all know do, a deer, a female.
Sure.
Okay. So if you go to a computer and you play tic-tac-toe, okay, there's like 250,000 ways you can play that, okay?
Yeah.
So if you go to a computer, can you just say, I want to write a song about a forest, and then there's a huge lightning storm in that forest, and then the leaves drop, the dew in the morning, blah, blah, blah. Can you do that? Just program it into a computer and say, hey, I just wrote a song.
I enjoy talking with you. Probably not. I mean, what you're talking about right there is, it might mean that to you personally, but now you play that, and will it mean that to me? I mean, that's the other thing. You're talking about, in a broad sense, programmatic music, music that's about something, being in a forest. And for each listener, they take their life's experiences and use that to try to discern what's coming through their ears. And one of them will see, I'm in a jungle. Another one will say, no, I'm on Mars, man. This sounds like I'm in outer space or whatever. We all have different reactions to it. Now, back to the question about the computer. You can design algorithms and so on to produce random sets of tones and have it come out like that. You can use it to control all sorts of things. I don't know if it would necessarily, there would be a way that you could just type in, okay, I want it to sound like a forest. I mean, that would involve a whole bunch of decision making on your part.
Does it disappoint you when you get the faux pas orchestra by way of a computer, an organ, an electric piano that plays the violin and does the drums and does the saxophone and can make all these sounds and, let's say, play a piece that you're familiar with, like Bach, and you know that it's, you know, on an electric thing? Do you say to yourself, you know, you need real people to put real music into real ears? And you can have a do that again and have it a little tweak different, whereas the constant of the computer or the electric piano. What's your thoughts on that?
It depends on the mood of the day. I mean, some of the great music actually is great at its. This is just me talking here. At its base level, you know that these tones, these harmonies, these rhythms work. Whether it's a handbell choir playing it, or whether it's an orchestra playing it, or a barbershop quartet singing it, the music itself holds together and it works. Others, pieces have such a history about them, or a tradition about them, that if you hear it being done another way, it just sort of rubs you the wrong way. And I vacillate between both. You know?
And I can do that with pop music. Mm-hmm. Like Emmy Lou Harris will do a Johnny Cash number in her way. Now, it isn't Johnny Cash doing it. But it was good.
Well, exactly.
She did. Yeah.
Good way of thinking about
Piece
it.
Piece number two. Right after this story, we're going to take another time out, okay? So
sure.
We can just go right up until, see if I can keep you here longer than you think.
Hi, I'm Angie Taylor, Director of Life Enrichment at Three Links Care Center in Northfield. We offer daily activities at each of our facilities, including independent senior living, assisted living, care center, and memory care. The activities range from exercise classes to sing-alongs, games to gardening, from bus rides in the countryside to painting fine art. Activities are personalized for the individual. Please call Three Links at 664-8800 or find out more at threelinks.org.
The Rare Pair would like to congratulate this year's Northfield Chamber of Commerce Business Person of the Year, Chris Kennelly, Business of the Year, Aurora Pharmaceutical, and Chamber Ambassador of the Year, Lynn Ziegler. As a longtime Northfield business owner, Kryn Finger and the staff at the Rare Pair know the hard work and dedication these great award winners have contributed to Northfield. Tickets are still available for the Northfield Chamber of Commerce's annual 2019 meeting and business recognition banquet this Thursday, January 31st, 5 to 9 p.m. at the Grand Event Center. Go to northfieldchamber.com for more information and to reserve your seat.
A great introduction to the Wayne Edy Affair on KYMN Radio.
I'll sell you the rights.
You know what? I'm thinking this is you're looking at who's starring in the movie, and something's coming up, and it's going to be exciting.
Well, this is a piece that I wrote.
Oh,
Yeah, this is the first movement of a suite for band. It's called Leaning Forward. I had a commission from Mason City High School. And they were opening a new auditorium, and they called and said, would you write us a piece for that? And we talked about how to make that happen and what the fee would be and so on. And they said, oh, I don't know if we can find that much money. And I said, well, you know, it just so happens that O.J. Thompson, who's on the Board of Regents at St. Olaf, is a banker in town at Mason City, and he is aware that I'm at St. Olaf. Maybe he might want to get involved, and so he helped make that happen. I have to go to a meeting in Thompson Hall in just a little bit, and so it's sort of interesting to have that all come together right now. The largesse of someone, this has been going on for centuries, you know, benefactors saying we want to create some art, and they help the artist have the time to live while they create it,
mm-hmm.
and this is the result of it.
Well, I got the idea because I said it sounded like a grand entrance, and that's what it was.
Yes, yes. This leaning forward, this is about having this attitude that we can make something happen. The second movement is very quiet. It's called Looking Back, and the third movement is Lifting Spirits, and it's just about that Mason City heritage. They have a wonderful heritage for music making and band music, the Music Man.
Are there 76 trombones in this piece?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, I don't want to insult you if I tell you it kind of reminds me of Star Wars.
Sure, I'll take that as
okay.
a compliment.
I mean, that's when I opened it up here, mm-hmm. I'm thinking it's like an introduction, and we're watching the credits going by as the movie is beginning or ending. So, and you call it Leaning Forward,
mm-hmm.
and it's a original piece owned and operated by Mason City High School.
Yeah, they
by Mr. Johnson. Did you Thompson?
Thompson, O.J.
Yeah.
Thompson.
O.J. Mm-hmm. What a terrible nickname. Okay. But it is so exciting to talk to a person like yourself that is so well educated and knowledgeable about the international language music and the desire to be part of that. And you can be as a patron, I would
mm-hmm.
assume.
Mm-hmm.
And I can imagine all those people that took music in high school or even college or beyond, when they go to a performance by your band, that they are sitting there going, just like the old football player, I wish I was sitting in that first chair again, like the old football player. Man, I'd like to be able to make mm-hmm. a tackle like that again.
It's never too late to get back in on it. I conduct the Minnesota Symphonic Winds, which is an adult band up in the Twin Cities, and we have a couple of members who have sort of found the instrument in the closet. It's been put away for 15 years while they started their adult life and were raising their children and whatnot. And they miss it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they miss it. And get in the practice room, get your chops back, as we say.
Yeah.
And come audition. Yeah. And they're great.
Last time you were a guest here on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN, I mentioned Jerry Lance.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wouldn't it be fun to have both those guys here?
Oh, that'd be fun. Too.
And talk. He's available on Mondays. And he's always willing to come up and chew the fat. And although I don't know what you guys are talking about, I get an idea, mm-hmm. and it's enjoyable for me to listen to you talk about this particular piece we just played. But I thought it would be fun to have you and Jerry side by side exchanging jokes and exchanging the difference between a band and an orchestra. What is the status between a conductor of a orchestra
sure.
as compared to a band.
Mm-hmm.
I think people, when you say band, you think of Buddy Holly or, you know,
yeah, that's
the Boss.
That's one of the challenges that we have on the serious end of our music making. Our name has been used in so many different ways.
When I first invited you to be a guest and you were the director of mm-hmm. the band,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, you know, you're out there marching at halftime at St. Olaf. Do you?
That's happened less than a handful of times, and not during my time.
Yeah.
they used to march quite regularly, more parade marching, I think, than football shows or anything like that. There's a wonderful tradition of them when they're traveling over in Norway back in 1906, for example. They would march down the streets of the towns to advertise that we're here. People would hear that, and then they would come to the concert that night. We have footage of the St. Olaf Band, a silent black and white footage, marching in 1909 out at the Alaska-Yukon-Pacific exposition in Seattle. This is this incredible part of the trip that they took. Jeff Solvay, one of the archivists that we've had up at St. Olaf, is helping to write a book on the history of the St. Olaf Band. He'd be the guy to bring in to tell stories of the early years of the St. Olaf Band. But they would load up the trains and work their way out and performing all the way out and back. They performed 100 times in 60 days or something like that.
Did they get compensated to help pay for the train ride?
Yeah, I think they had ticket sales,
The
hat, free room and board or whatever.
Okay.
But they made it work. And for me as the conductor of the band to see that old footage of former band members marching. I can't hear them. I can hear them in my mind, you know, because it's a silent film. But just thinking, that's the heritage.
A silent film of a band.
Yeah.
That's oxymoron. You were successor to Mighty Johnson.
Yep, Miles Johnson.
And, which has a huge reputation
and
big shoes to fill. That must have been scary when they called you up and said, you're the one we chose.
Yeah, it was quite intimidating. I didn't even put my papers in to apply for the job until the last day that you could. I loved that band. I was a member of that band, and I had to wrestle with my own understanding of whether I could be the person who could come in after Mighty. I wanted the best person to come in after Mighty. I love that band.
So we have three cuts I asked you to bring, and I know that you're the guy that's running out of time. I'm not. But can we do three just so you can get an idea? Do you want to intro it?
Yeah, this is the first movement of the Holst Second Suite. This will be familiar to some who are the band people out listening.
I'm directing the band. I thought something was going to come in there. That's what I do in the car.
Yeah, me too.
And sometimes I catch it, right? You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I go, hey, I got it. You have a meeting?
Yes, I do.
At St. Olaf?
I got an 11 o'clock meeting and some things I need to get done before I go up. So.
Okay, so I'm going to bid you a farewell, and thank you very much for coming in on a 28-degree below zero day. And thank you for bringing the CD. Can I keep it till next time? I can play it in the car.
Oh, it's all yours.
I love to mess with this kind of music.
This is all the Senzoku Gakuen Freshman Wind Ensemble
we've
been listening to.
I could tell that right away.
And for your listeners, I mean, these are people that are just a little bit older than Northfield High School. And they sound professional. It was a delight to be with them.
Was this recorded in Japan?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, well, once again, I want to say thank you very much for coming in. It's always a joy. And do me a favor, and that is this. If I run into you on the street and I look at you like I'm trying to figure out who you are, you smile and say, hi, Wayne, and help me out here, and you say, Tim Maher, and I'll go, St. Olaf, thank you.
I'll certainly do that.
I have talked to so many people, a lot, you know, your same age area and hair and all that, and the mustache and the beard, so I thank you very much. I'm going to give you the opportunity to sneak out the door.
Sure.
You're going to let me keep the CD, and I'll keep in touch. And should I work the Jerry Lance angle?
That would be fun.
Is Monday's good for you?
Yeah, we can look at the calendar. We can figure something out.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much to our guest here this morning, Tim Maher. And it is 10 o'clock. Actually, it's 10:01 on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN. We are a friend you can count on. And we're going to play some music for you. I didn't come prepared and have things already just bounce into it. So I'm going to try to see if I know how to get to something else here on Kim, a friend you can count on. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Okay, that didn't work. So, I know. Why don't we just play some of the music for a moment here that we just were introduced to and go from there.